Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. We're on every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here. It gets out one way or another. Sometimes I don't want the truth out, and I have no choice because my very, very good friends and trusted cohorts, Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman, guys.
How you doing, man?
Hey!
They join me every night. And we are here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're also online at philhenryshow.com, which is our website. And we have live streaming, a live streaming video cast of the show from philhenryshow.com, so you can watch. You can also become a Backstage Pass subscriber and gain access to over 4,500 hours of show material. I mean, we've got complete shows going back over 10 years. We also have our daily podcast, which, not daily, excuse me, three times a week, bud?
Yeah, right now, you're thinking about making more.
That's true. We are thinking about kicking it up.
Man, you ain't got time to do that, man.
Don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about me. Thank you very much, Robert. I can, you know.
No, I just...
Yeah, your health. What about your health?
What do you mean, what about my health? Right now, I'm healthier than either one of you guys. My health.
But, you know, you're getting on in years.
Yeah, you are getting older.
Oh, well, thank you. But I think I'm okay, man. So anyway, where was I?
How are you going to do podcast?
Yeah, we have three a week, and we're probably going to kick that up to maybe four or five. But go over to our website and hit the podcast banner and get the podcast. We have an episode 42, which is out today, and it is the original Kiss the Gunner's Daughter.
No way.
Yep, way.
Man, that's one of the best bits that ever been.
Spit it out, Porky. You know,
hey, okay, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I swear to God.
Good. I told you guys. And you with the spit it out, Porky.
But he's all like...
Yeah, like you... But one of these days, I'm going to put you on tape, and I'm going to force you to listen to yourself for a half an hour.
Yeah, man, that'll break you the habit of making fun of people.
Yeah, well, I better not say.
Yeah, you better not say. So in any event, go to our podcast banner, hit that, and pick up on episode 42, Kiss the Gunner's Daughter, available now. Okay. Ugly, ugly stuff. Ugly stuff in the news. One of these pieces of news has to do with I don't even want to go there. You know, we'll go there when we need to go there. The other is the ongoing violence that apparently continues to beset the Middle East with the anti-Muslim film. I read a few things about this anti-Muslim film. Apparently, the film is about on a par with, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, it's about on a par with this guy, a lot of these guys like Jones and some of these cats are just bagging on Islam like it's the whole thing sucks, you know? Like, for instance, if a bunch of Christians got together and, slaughtered a bunch of people, which, quite frankly, you know, so let's say Christopher Columbus was alive today, okay?
Yeah.
And he got into a ship and he came over to a country.
What about here?
No, not here, because we're already... He came over to some place that wasn't inhabited.
But that'd have to be like Antarctica.
Yeah.
Would you guys just listen to me for 5 seconds?
Sorry.
So he goes to this country, and he starts carving up people like he did when he was doing his thing. And the world says, look at these Christians, what a bunch of slaughtering animals, right? Now, sooner or later, and then they come out with a movie that says Christians are a bunch of slaughtering animals... I don't know that we're going to go out and riot, you know.
Well, I don't know, man. It's pretty bad.
Well, we're not going to go out and, like, burn down an embassy. And, there's a difference between acting like a human being and acting like just a swine. 877-876 is our number here, and we are going to bring on the line right now Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. And I know that Dean is, he and his wife both host a couple of Native ceremonies there on Thursday evenings, Dean, correct? And Tuesday evenings?
We do, Phil, and we're very, very proud to have one of the tribal groups that comes to the grounds and perform some of the Native ritual dancing, especially when we're ending a season and going into another. Autumnal, and the Native people of North America were no different from people all over the world in terms of their observance of these equinox moments. And we're coming up on the autumnal equinox, and we have two of the troops, musical troops, from our Native Council here in Northern California are very proud.
Can you give me your read? Are you, and you're going to be all right to talk to us, right?
Absolutely, Phil. Yeah, Amarella is here. We also have Jim Hitchcock, who's with the Native Council, our liaison, and Bethany, and some people from the Holistic Center.
Give me your read on the violence now breaking out in the Middle East concerning this anti-Muslim film, or so-called, and the way that the people of the Muslims, I should say, of the Middle East are reacting.
I think that Phil, there comes a time where you can't put up with it any longer. You can't. I don't know. I've always been one who preaches that the peaceful path is the far more beneficial and the far more abundant path. I think that when we travel the road of peace, we travel an abundant road. It isn't that we're just being peaceful. It's that we are doing something that ultimately will benefit us much more than being angry, lashing out, or violent. I know, though, in my own life, when I did begin to look into the philosophies of the East, whether it was Buddhism at one time or it was the Tao Te Ching, the Lao Tzu's way of the Tao, or ultimately, of course, Zen Buddhism, and yoga, I felt that I needed to use that peaceful path. But people being people will blame you for all kinds of things. They'll attack you for all kinds of things. And I was attacked.
Now, we know your history. You had a history of domestic violence.
That is correct, yes.
And you also had at one time, you were dealing drugs.
All of it is true, yes, Phil.
All right. And I don't want to belabor that. So when you came out west and you settled in...
Well, can I just...
Go ahead.
I don't want my story to sound as if it's a typical, I came to California, with flowers in my hair, and I heard the sound of a flute in Golden Gate Park. It wasn't anything like that.
Right. It wasn't a typical 70s California story.
No, not at all. I came out here, and I was still a very troubled man because I was a fugitive from a bench warrant had been issued for my arrest in the state of New Jersey. And so I was under a lot of stress. But we were able to get that worked out, and I did then become more involved in the holistic way. And it served me well, Phil.
And when you say the holistic way, it's a non-Christian but very spiritual...
Well, the holistic means whole. And what do we mean by that? We mean that everything connects. You can start with the spiritual, but if you look at a circle, you don't really know where that circle begins and where that circle ends. If it's a perfect circle, you can just see it as a whole continuing. And the spiritual melts into the physical melts into the mental into the emotional, and we recognize that that's how we are as humans. We are a whole, and we should see everything as a whole. And so that's what I've endeavored to believe, but it's a very difficult thing to do in an America where so many people are earthbound, and by that I mean they're materialistic. So many people in this country hunger for material goods. It seems as if we're going backwards and not forwards, and we are heading into a more and more materialistic way of being. I think what the Muslim people of the Middle East are saying is, you need to stop, America, and look at your values and look at what you're doing. You're becoming like these materialistic people I'm talking about.
But I'm talking about the violence.
Yes. Well, and I've had violence against. You do get violent.
I'm talking about the violence of some of these people attacking and killing, murdering.
Well, Phil, when I began to practice prana yoga and hatha yoga and began to experience, and kriya yoga, the meditation of kriya yoga, and began to experience this as a way of life, I was taunted and I was mocked by people who thought that I was some kind of, far out.
Some sort of a hippie?
Yeah, some kind of a far out, way out guy. And I remember there were days that I would grit my teeth a little bit and just say, hang on, Dean, hang on until the sun goes down, because that's when we usually had a fire pit ceremony, which included Dean and Jeff and Carrie, the guys from the tribal council, would come, and as you can hear them now, and we would have this cleansing. We would have our moment of cleansing. And I had to grit my teeth and hold on.
Otherwise what?
Otherwise, I would have gotten violent.
So if someone was making fun of you practicing yoga, you see that as the same as someone making fun of Muslims?
I think that the reaction's the same. You know, I wanted to... When people said to me, oh, what are you doing with all of that ridiculous Eastern... Aren't you a Christian? Aren't you a Christian? This kind of thing. You know, you look like an idiot, and you look like a fool. I felt myself wanting to physically react to strangle them or to do things to them that
you were feeling violent.
I was feeling violent, exactly. And so what you're seeing of the Muslims in the Middle East is a very natural reaction to someone mocking your religion. And
yeah, but they committed murder, Dean.
I understand, and I think that you have to keep in mind, I wanted to commit murder when people mocked my meditation sessions that we would have on the bluffs, when we had our senior drum circle. I was laughed at, and I felt violent, like I wanted to just tell the seniors, I'm sorry, I can't do this. You're going to have to stop with our drum circle while I go outside. And you may not see me again because I'm going to kill someone, and then I'll just wait for the police to arrive.
All right, we're talking with Dean Wheeler. Dean, that's very candid of you. I appreciate it.
Well, I think people need to understand that it can provoke this kind of a reaction.
We're talking with Dean about the Muslim reaction, some of the Muslim people's reaction to this anti-Muslim film, the violence. There was death. There were people killed. Dean says, well... If you mock a man's spirituality and religion, this seems to be a normal reaction. 877-876-7445 is our number. On the world-famous Phil Henry Show, I have to tell you that Dean is at his Northern California Holistic Center. They're having a meeting there, and they have invited a tribal council of a local Native American group to participate. That's what you're probably hearing in the background. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And I said, wait here. I'm going to go out and I'll just wait for the police to arrive. What?
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. So we're talking about this this terrible reaction to the anti-Muslim film. Have you seen this movie, by the way?
No, I have not, Phil.
I have not either. All I know is that it doesn't have very... I don't think it has a very credible endorser in... I think this Pastor Jones, this guy that was burning the Koran...
There is another example there. This man, Jones, who should know better as a pastor, but I don't really think he's a pastor. I think he is simply a, I don't know, probably some kind of a political, politically motivated ideologue who is trying to stir it up, you know, by pretending that he's a pastor of some kind. I think that what has happened here is that there is an anti-Muslim feeling in the United States, and it's being answered by the Muslim peoples of the Middle East in a way that is extreme, but certainly one that can be understood.
Oh, but no, here's where I've got to differ with you. Understood? I don't understand killing people. Okay.
Well, I just told you, Phil, that, and I understand that your confusion.
Well, you told me that when people mock your spiritual life, you feel violent.
I think anyone does. I think that Haven't you felt violent? Well,
I don't have as firmly entrenched or as firmly, kind of set into my life, a spiritual life, that I, you know, identify with so much that if someone mocks it, I'm going to get violent.
Well, you told me at one time you believed in Buddhism, right?
Yeah.
Now, if someone were to say Buddha was a fat, stupid-looking, you know, he was fat and stupid-looking, you've seen the Buddha statues.
Yeah, and as they have.
They have?
Yeah.
So they've said that Buddha is fat and stupid-looking, and that obviously is going to have some effect on you, right?
No, it, honest to God, it doesn't.
Well, you said last night, you were raised Catholic, Phil. If someone took a crucifix, and I don't know.
Well, how about that guy, Robert Mapplethorpe?
All right, Robert Mapplethorpe.
He was the photographer who took a crucifix, which is the cross, and it has the figure of Jesus hanging from it. It's a very Catholic kind of religious item. You don't really see it that much with other Christian faiths, but and he had this in a picture of urine.
Yes, it was called Urine Jesus.
Yes.
Well, didn't that cause you to feel a sense of violence?
No, it did not. It did not. I didn't understand it, and I can't say as I would buy that piece of art or even go and see. I saw a rendering of it in the newspaper.
Well, why didn't you want to go see it?
Because it didn't look. It did look offensive. You know.
Oh, so you were offended by it?
Well, I mean, offended not to the point of, oh God, I'm so offended, I want to go beat up the guy that made it. I just thought it wasn't my kind of thing. I didn't want to go see more of the same. You know.
What we're saying here, Phil, is the violence of the Muslims in the Middle East is a normal reaction, and I'm trying to get you to understand that you, on some level, felt violence.
You're saying that the reaction of the Muslims in the Middle East is a normal reaction, a violent reaction, and you're trying to get me to say that I felt violent when I saw that. I think it was called Piss Jesus. That's what it was called. And I didn't feel violent.
You didn't feel violent?
No, I didn't feel violent. I felt offended by it, but I didn't feel violent.
Well, all right. And when they Buddha with the fat Buddha. And
I didn't feel violent about that either.
But I felt violent when someone made fun of us when we were meditating on the block. See, I think there's a part of you, Phil, and this is a normal reaction. It's very difficult to admit to the fact that you want, in the middle of a spiritual moment, you want to go and do physical harm to someone who's offended you. And that's what's going on with you. The Muslims, at least, are being honest about it. They're coming out and saying it. You know?
No, I don't understand that at all. No, I don't.
Look, can I?
No, you have not established that I felt violent, because I haven't. All right? I haven't felt violent. I've been offended.
Well, I think you feeling offended. When you say that you felt offended, you don't want to say that you're violent.
It hasn't been violence. It hasn't been a feeling that I want to go find a person and kill him. No, it has not.
Well, you have to live with your own conscience.
Are you calling me? Are you saying I'm lying?
I'm saying there's an untruth there.
Are you saying that I'm lying? I mean,
I think that's between you and whatever you conceive your God to be. I don't know. Your God, which, as you know, I don't believe in the God that you believe in. So your God is a very strange and very foreign God to me. I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Are you trying to offend me now?
Well, how do you feel about that? When I say that you worship something that is very almost ugly to me, how do you feel about that?
It doesn't. I can see right through what you're doing. You're trying to make me angry.
Are you angry?
No.
And yet so you're trying to establish that you're superior to me.
Why? Why would you say that I'm trying to establish that? You don't believe that I'm being honest.
Because I said that I felt that I wanted to strangle that person that was laughing and making the noises while we were meditating on the bluff. I said I wanted to stop the meditation, and I wanted to go over there, and I wanted to hurt that person. The same thing with our senior drum circle. The Muslims wanted to burn down the embassy, and they did. And yet you are not being honest with me when I ask you again, don't you feel violent when someone says that your God is a big, ugly blob? Don't you?
No, I don't. I don't feel violent. You do, and maybe the Muslims do. I don't. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and all of this is, no, I don't. I mean, anti-Muslim movie, no anti-Muslim movie. I don't give a crap about that editorial. It was written in USA Today by that woman who said, well, you know, we have to understand. We do. And then, of course, they use the military. Well, the military's at risk. Is it really at risk? Phil, maybe they're more at risk with you opening your big fat mouth.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I have to.
All right, welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Yes, we do. We have an aggressive phone screening style. And
well, I think that you were extremely rude to that.
Well, look, if the guy calls me up and he says to me, if you react violently to something I said, I'm going to have to assume that what I said is true.
Yes.
All right, and hold on. And then I said to him, okay, so if I say your mother's a whore and you react violently to that, then I get to assume that your mother's a whore.
I don't think that's what he meant.
I don't care what he meant. That's why, you know, that's why I said what I said.
Well, but you immediately said that you thought the man was stupid. And
well, of course he's stupid. That's not a very well-thought-out thought, is it? That's not something that he was even thinking about. That just came off the top of his head. That wasn't anything that he really believes. If you're going to react violently, I'm going to assume that what you said is true. So, okay, your mother's a whore. Well, and then he, you know, started to qualify.
Well, you didn't let him explain, though. You know, I mean,
I did. He said, well, insofar as it isn't true. So, wait a minute, that's not what you said, man. You said that if I react, if something I say causes you to react violently, then I get to assume that what I said is true. And he said, yeah, and I said, okay, so your mother's a whore. And you punch me out for that, which I would expect you to do, you know.
Would you want him to punch you out?
It's not a matter of whether I wouldn't say something like that. But let's say that I was dumb enough to say that. I would have to at least be smart enough to expect the guy is going to want to kill me. Okay.
And if he tries to kill you.
Okay. Then according to his logic, what I said to him about his mother being a whore is true.
Look, Phil, you know, I think that the Muslim people are outraged by essentially the same thing. Their mothers have been called whores. And
so, in other words, then we get to assume that that's true?
No, you don't get to assume that it's true.
Then why are you standing up for the guy that just said that?
I'm taking up and standing up for the man that said that because you're... the way that you spoke to him, I thought, was a little aggressive and a little rude. And I would try to say something that would get him on my side.
All right. So how would you have handled that?
I would have said to him, the Muslim people are the ones who are being called, their mothers are the worst thing you can say to a Muslim is that your mother is a motherless whore. That's the worst thing you can say in the Arab countries.
That your mother is a motherless whore.
That your mother is a, well, yes, that it works for, you can say that, or motherless, a dog, something like that, motherless, your mother or your father. And that's the worst thing you can, in the Arab world, that you can possibly say. So that when I was meditating on the bluffs, or when we had our senior circle, or when we have our Native American drum circle, or when the tribal council does its dance, and people drive by and honk and laugh and thumb their noses, you might as well be yelling from the car, you're motherless.
Yeah, okay, you're, my mother is a motherless whore.
Yes, your mother is, your father's, and so that kind of an insult is going to make you angry. And for you to say, no, it doesn't, really is so unfair. It's so unfair. Why won't you admit to that?
Look at Dean.
Why won't you admit to that? Please stay with me on this. Why won't you admit to that?
When someone...
Why won't you admit to that?
Because no one's called me that.
No one called you that. I'm talking about your mother. And
because when someone says the Buddha is fat and stupid-looking, that's not calling my mother a motherless whore.
All right, it might be a bad example, but when they laugh at me, or when we were having a meditation session on a bluff, or the drum circle, or the Native American Drum Council, or the American Dairy Association, when they meet here for their prayer breakfasts, and people drive by and hang their, pull their pants down and push it up against the glass and all of those childish things that people are going to do, that's like calling my mother, my motherless mother, it's like calling my mother's
It's like calling your mother a motherless whore.
Yes, yes. And
you get violent.
I want to take my... I want to do something bad. I'm afraid I'm going to do something bad. And when I think of that, it takes me back to those times when I was... can I ask you what that is?
Bud, what is that?
I'm sorry, that open phone line that we have, it's an intercom that we have, and it was open.
Is that the outside intercom?
Yeah.
Shut that off, okay?
Well, you're going wrong.
No, shut it off. Shut it off. All right, 877-876-7445 is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we speak to Dean Wheeler about the Native peoples. The Native people. We're talking about the... Actually, Bud, turn that thing off, if you don't mind. We're talking about the Muslim people of the... And I can hear that this drum... Has this drum council started up again?
Yes, it has. Dean, Jeff, Gary. Honey, can you have them go inside? The drum circle has started up again, Phil. Do you mind? I simply want to take part in one of the ablutions, if you don't mind. Can you bear... If I'll hold the phone up, it might be enlightening to your audience.
Okay.
Right. And now, as we see the gray wolf begin to pass across the rock. Ow! God! Oh, man!
What happened?
One of the things... Don't put that there! Hey, Charlie, knock it off, please. Will you knock it off, please? Thank you. Knock it off, will you please? Just for a minute, thank you. God almighty.
What happened?
I sat down. They had moved one of the granite stools here, and it's got a sharp edge to it, and it went right up in there. Don't put that there, honey. Darling, I'm sorry I yelled at you, darling. I'm sorry I yelled at you. All right, darling.
Is that your wife?
No, that was Charlie, one of the Indians. And I know it sounds gay, but it isn't.
You were calling him darling?
Yeah, it has to do with the passage of spirit between male and female. It's a very it's the sectoring of positive and negative elements of the universe, Phil.
It's part of your ceremony?
It's part of the religious doctrine. Yeah. Okay. All right, and Charlie, go ahead, hit it. Right. As the gray wolf moves through the I didn't order a pizza. Hold on. Eddie, knock it the hell off, will you? I don't know whether you like hearing yourself singing or something.
Dean, this is beginning to sound a little comic.
I apologize, Phil.
It's just sounding a little comic, and I need for you to figure out what you want to do here. Do we want to continue to talk about this?
Yes, of course.
All right, well,
here again, you're mocking my religion.
No, I'm not mocking your religion. Two times you've started to do this ceremony. You sat down on a rock that was apparently something.
I told you, it cut right into it. Now that's as graphic as I'll get.
All right, and then you began again, and there's a pizza.
Emeralda, honey, did you order a pizza? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Phil, this is exactly what I'm talking about. When my religion, is mocked, these are the things that begin to happen.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a phone call, 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Hendry Show. Father Jim McQuarters is going to join us here. Also, Jim Fine from last night is up. Father McQuarters, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I don't think I remember a time when you ever called me Father Jim, but I think I like that a lot, you know?
Well, you know, it's a little informal, huh?
I think I enjoy that an awful lot. So good evening to your guest, to Mr. Wheeler, Brett. It's Dean Wheeler, Father. Mr. Wheeler, how are you? I'm fine. I was not expecting to speak to a padre or to a shaman of the Roman Church. I can assure you, sir, I'm not a shaman. Really? Do you know what a shaman is? Yes, sir, I do. What is a shaman? A shaman is a high priest of a religion that can practice, at times, elements of magic, and I certainly don't attribute to myself any magical skills. In the middle of the Mass, when you turn the water and wine into the body and blood of Christ, that's not magic. I didn't call you, Dean, to argue with you. You might be right, you might be wrong. I'll let you have your religion if you'd like to. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I get very defensive when a shaman priest of the Roman Church calls.
I can understand that. If you wish to call me a shaman priest of the Roman Church, that's fine. And I've got no problem with it. I can tell you, Dean, though, that as you speak there, the words that you speak sound real pretty. Oh, yeah, they're pretty. But I don't know that a man of European origin, a man who has come to the North American continent... hold on for a minute, shaman. You can't
lay that trip on me and say that I'm just another European who is who's trying to cross-pollinate. I understand these people.
Sure. I can tell you that I was here, I came here shortly after the Second World War as a very young priest. And I worked with those people. I worked and I served with those people.
Those people? Oh, wow.
I mean the native people of California, the Chumash people of California. And I worked as well with the Hopi of the southwestern desert. And I worked with quite a few of the different tribes and the tribal people. And I can assure...
Well, yeah, I noticed that too.
What's the matter?
I just noticed the fruit player. Are you going to... I'll do something about it. Hold on. Hey, Betty? No, what's with the whole boop, 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 boop? What is that? Is that jazz? Good. Knock it off. Okay.
Let's take a break, because I've come up against the break again. All right, guys. 877-876-7445. Father James McQuarters and... What was he saying?
Dad, get the flute player freelance.
Yeah, I think the flute player... I'll do a little improvising, because he went... Boop, 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 boop.
How do you do it? Man, you know what I'm talking about.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Dean Wheeler, Father James McQuarters, and the Muslim thing.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, wow. Well, you're just a regular Herbie man, aren't you? I know how to play.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and Father James McQuarters along with Dean Wheeler joining us, but we're going to get to them in a moment. I wanted to just give you the background, a little more background, on all of this worldwide Muslim anger over a film mocking Islam's prophet continued to spread Thursday, prompting President Barack Obama to issue a warning to countries where Americans may be in danger. President Obama, speaking at a re-election campaign rally in Golden, Colorado, said his administration had been in contact with other governments to let them know they've got a responsibility to protect our citizens. The president also said on Thursday, I've directed my administration to do whatever is necessary to protect all Americans serving abroad. Now, that goes without saying that Americans were killed in a supposedly protected embassy. And I understand it's Libya, and I understand they have a fluid situation there.
What's that mean?
A fluid situation is... they don't have their feet on the ground yet in Libya. They just got rid of Gaddafi. They've got some interim sort of governance there. Anyway, the American diplomatic offices everywhere have seen their security beefed up. There are contracted aircraft being kept on the runways in major cities so they can ferry out evacuated personnel. The spreading violence comes as outrage grows over an obscure movie made in the United States called Innocence of Muslims that mocked Islam's prophet Muhammad. The first of the protests against the film began in Cairo outside of the U.S. Embassy there on Tuesday. Protesters rushed embassy grounds, taking down and tearing up the American flag, flying at half-mast in commemoration of 9/11 before security forces turned them away. So there we have even on a sacred day like 9/11, doesn't make any difference to those cats, man. You know? To us, 9/11 is a very, very sacred day. To Muslims, well, the Prophet Muhammad is very, very sacred. Dean Wheeler and Father James McQuarters. Dean, would you say that's a fair trade? I mean, they've killed, more Americans are dead at the hands of extremist Muslims.
I think that's very unfair of you, Phil. Phil, can I...
Go ahead, Father.
I'm talking. No, but I just wanted to say one thing. I'm sorry, Dean. But I'm talking, sir. All right, go ahead. God. What I was going to say before this priest interrupted me is that I think it's very unfair of you, Phil, to say that more Americans are dead at the hands of Muslims. What does that mean exactly? Are they going to start now? All right. We're starting the ceremony again, Phil.
All right, but I want to talk about this. I'm not really interested in what's going on there.
All right, so you want to mock my religion. Phil, this is Father McQuarters. I have to say something to you, Dean. All right? Hold on for a minute. I'm in the middle of my religion, Father, okay? My religion, all right? This isn't your shaman religion. This is mine. Do you mind? All right, I'll talk to Phil about it then. I would appreciate if both of you would not talk while I'm doing this.
I'm not going to do... No, I came on here and brought you on here.
You came on? What, is this my radio show?
No, you came on my show...
Yes?
...to talk to me about this. So we're either going to do that or I talk to Father McQuarters.
Well, I'm going to go and do what I'm... Bill, listen. Dean's right to this extent. Yeah, I'm just going to keep making noise.
What a baby.
Well?
Go ahead, say whatever you want to say.
Thank you. Well, I was... Dean, this is Father McQuarters. You keep saying who it is. I know it's you. I want to say something. I think that it is absolutely understandable that a man would become sickened in his soul and sickened in his spirit to hear mocking and transgressive words against a religion, against a spiritual belief that he holds dear. I can totally understand that. But when you take it to the point that you take a human life, then it doesn't matter what country you're in, it's a degenerated and it is an evil thing. But you have to understand these are Libyans. They're not... you have no understanding of the third world sensibilities. They're Libyans and what?
Yeah, what does that mean?
They're Libyans, meaning they don't have the same understanding. See, I'm not... You're not going to trap me. You're not going to trap me into saying they're a bunch they're a bunch of barefoot, bugging, turbaned weirdos. I'm not going to say it because that's what you want me to say.
No, I don't want you to say that.
I wasn't thinking that. You're both lying. It's really amazing that I called your show and you lied, Mr. Henry, at the beginning of the hour, and now Father McQuarters is lying.
I was not going to call them a bunch of barefoot, bugging, turbaned weirdos. That's what you said. I was not going to attribute to the Libyan people or anybody in the world a primitive status or stature that would bespeak some inability to rationally view things. But they got angry, man. Religion in some parts of the world still is a reason for going to war, you know?
Well, right there, okay. So you're saying they're primitive, too, just like I am. Do you want us to see them as primitive, Dean, or do you want us to see them as people that are evolved and are deserving of our respect? Which is it, Dean? I want you to see them as evolved, but also they're primitive.
All right, so wait a second. So in other words, it's almost like the Ramar of the jungle thing, man. So if you hold on for a minute. So if you go into the jungle and you cross the sacred river, you deserve to get your head handed to you by the natives because you've gone into the land of the monster.
Yes, it sounds primitive, and it's not the way that we think in the West, but that's exactly correct. How many jungle movies do we need to produce? How many?
Yes, but the two of you are talking about a jungle movie. I don't think they've made one like that in quite some time.
Well, they haven't made one in quite some time, and it is very decidedly a colonial point of view, to be honest with you, Dean. It's a colonial point of view to say, I better not say bad stuff about this, very sacred thing, otherwise I'm going to get my ass kicked.
A
That's exactly correct. What's wrong with that? But that's like saying what Phil was saying. It's like saying, I don't go, you better not wanna, don't go over the river. The bad creature lives there. Well, yes, it does.
Yeah, that's what we mean by jungle movie mentality.
Oh, boy. You guys really don't mind walking on the wild side, do you? Jungle mentality. To all of you Muslims that are listening, how do you like Mr. Hendry comparing you to a bunch of, oh, I don't know, interior, African interior slaves in diapers carrying boxes on your heads? Thank you, and have a very pleasant good evening. Boy, tell him to...
Are you, Dean, you know what? If you hang up, I'm not going to think very highly of you, and I may not have you back on.
All right, I'll stay. The point that has been made here is that it's a primitive way of thinking.
It's a primitive way of thinking to say the following thing. To say, you must understand why the Muslim people got angry, even though we don't do that in our country, they do. That's a primitive kind of thinking, because you're basically thinking the way those cats thought in those jungle movies when they said, I better not go across the river and offend the native god, because, you know, we'll get cooked and eaten. That kind of thing.
Oh, my God. You really think that they're a bunch of primitive people? We're modern people, Mr. Hendry. Modern people. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Shut up. All right. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is coming back with other news, bizarre news. A suspect identified in a broad daylight attack in Central Park, New York. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Yeah, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so it doesn't matter what time it is, where you is, we is with you. And, right, bud?
Yeah.
I saw you starting to say something. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and... we're online at philhendryshow.com. We've got Phil TV and HD cranked up. You can watch us. You can listen to us. You can, I think we're the old Smell-O-Vision thing, man. We're always working on that. And don't forget that on Sunday night on Fox Television, the debut of Napoleon Dynamite, co-starring or featuring or understarring or sub-starring or however they say that stuff, you know.
Were you in the credits?
Yes, I'm in the credits. It's Napoleon Dynamite. It starts at 8:30. And there'll be another show at 9:30 following NFL football on Fox on the East Coast. It'll be immediately following that. And the word is that John Heder and Ephraim Ramirez, two of the cast members, are going to be appearing, I think, at some point during the Green Bay game, maybe, you know, interviewed by Joe Buck and the guys. So that ought to be a guess. And what else is happening? Well, a lot of stuff. You visit our website and get a backstage pass, you'll see what's happening. And there's a lot going on over there. Join us for our video cast and our podcast each day. Lots of news tonight, and some of it is very compelling and, I suppose, a very noteworthy. Nothing overly, I would say, there's no emergency. We did deal very, very, I think we dealt very well last night with the Marine Corps situation in Afghanistan. Tonight we're going to change directions a little bit. We do have Doug Danger standing by. He is an entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, and we're going to talk with him this evening about the Golden Globes that are going to be coming up here on Sunday night. Ricky Gervais will be hosting again, and we would just like to say, you know, on behalf of the Phil Hendry Show, we're very happy to see Ricky Gervais hosting. We thought he was terrific last year. We were stunned and shocked, and we were just disgusted by all of the criticism that he received. We sent telegrams, and we were told just to F off. No, we weren't. I'm just kidding. But the fact is, I thought he was really funny. And I can't understand what the outrage. Doug, you remember last year, all of that outrage? Was that just, what was that?
Well, Phil, listen, I think a lot of that, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think a lot of the so-called outrage about Ricky Gervais last year was a knee-jerk thing from the Hollywood foreign press, and from, quite frankly, the American press, to make sure that they were on the right side of some of these celebrities who might have had their feelings hurt. The first person to be heard from, Phil, last year after Ricky Gervais did what he did and said what he said, was Robert Downey Jr. You know, he had a...
Well, he had some comments right when he came out on stage.
Yeah, and he also had some things to say afterwards. And I think there were a few others. And They wanted to make sure that they did not run afoul of Robert Downey Jr. They wanted to make sure they didn't run afoul of any important people, because the pecking order in Hollywood 1 year ago tonight, or 1 year ago this weekend anyway, Phil, the pecking order did not include Ricky Gervais. Here's the big difference. This year, it does. So this year, you got to be careful. If you want to say something about Ricky Gervais, I would suggest very strongly that you be as careful as you were last year, not wanting to piss off Robert Downey Jr. And I'll tell you this much. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been writing about entertainment in this town for a long time, and I do it from a very, very unblinkered perspective, Phil. I don't edit my thoughts. I don't edit my feelings. I don't edit the things I say. The gay man is a gay journalist, but I'm looking last year at all these guys falling all over themselves, not wanting to offend Robert Downey Jr. I was with you. I said Ricky Gervais did a great job. It was funny. It was funny. Every time he opened his mouth, it was funny.
Well, I mean, some of the stuff is now classic, to be honest with you. even the stuff that didn't make it onto the stage, the fact that he originally, I think, was going to come out in a Nazi uniform and say that he'd got it out of Mel Gibson's closet?
Yeah, and they did not allow that in the show, and I probably they were right not allowing that in the show. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I've got a pretty good sense for what they're going to allow in the show, what they're not going to allow in the show, but it was a well-earned and well-deserved shot at Mel Gibson, and I think it was a well-earned and well-deserved shot at some of the irresponsible behavior that Robert Downey Jr. has been engaged in sometimes in his life, even though he has, he's pulled it together over the last few years. But I think we have to be able to laugh at ourselves, and I say, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've never been involved in any drug problems, Phil, so I wouldn't put myself in that part of the Hollywood scene, but I would say that I will include myself in us when Ricky Gervais takes shots at us.
All right, let's talk about the Golden Globes.
There is one other thing that I wanted to mention before we do that, if we could.
Okay.
One other thing, and I mentioned it to Bud Dickman, and I wanted to talk, before we get into the Golden Globes, because it's very important. There are a lot of people that are going to be in limousines this weekend here in the Los Angeles area, and they are entertainers. They work in an industry. And here in our city, Phil, we have an industry that employs not just movie stars. It employs carpenters, technicians, electricians. It employs makeup people. It employs craft services people. It employs truck drivers. It employs stevedores, dock workers, people that handle equipment. It is an all-encompassing industry called the film and television industry.
Right.
And there are going to be a lot of people in limousines this weekend who deserve that limousine ride when they go to the Golden Globes Awards. A lot of them are going to be representing some of those technical people, because they do give out technical awards as well as awards for the performance and producing. There's going to be a lot of people this weekend who will be in those limousines who've earned those limousine rides. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is over the last couple of weeks, I made some notes about a story that I'd done about 2 years ago. And I've got to hear Chick Saysburg, who's my night editor, wants me to do a story on these teenagers that are running limousines. And you're aware of that, right?
Yeah, teenagers that are renting limousines. You mean like for prom?
Well, as it turns out, you see a lot of kids that are renting limousines for all kinds of things. Either it's to prom, it's to homecoming, it's to, I dare say just to go get a pizza or just to have a date. But you see an awful lot of teenagers that are renting limousines and are doing that either with their own money or with the money of their parents. And I really think something's got to be said about it, Phil. In our city and all over America, there are performers, there are artists, people who are actors, actresses, who ride in limousines because that is a specific vehicle they need for their own security because of their notoriety. They need to be protected, and they also need to be noticed, I guess, if you want to put it that way, Phil, in a positive way. You don't want to see an actor in a AMC Hornet. You want to see an actor in a limousine. When you have teenage kids who are out in the world renting limousines, riding around in these things as if they somehow earned that, I think it's a disrespectful thing to see it does not give, I think, the proper respect to a lot of very hardworking artists. It's also a lot of these kids that are trying to look like they're something. And
you're saying that these young people that rent limousines, whether they're teenagers or college...
Well, it's mostly the teenagers.
They're trying to look like movie stars?
I think in their... I don't think they'd admit it, but I think deep down, I think subconsciously, they want to feel like there's something that belongs on a movie screen. I think it's disrespectful. And what I've done over the last couple of weeks, because what happened was Chick Faisbert said to me, if you're going to do this, I want you to write an article about it, because there were some people who called the night desk and had complained about me pulling these limousines over, and I don't pull them over. I just tell the driver, where are you guys pulling over? And or I ask him, he'll say, well, up here. I'll get out of the car. And
Wait. You're pulling over these limousines?
No, I'm not pulling them over. I'm asking, where are you guys going? And the driver will say, we're going up here to this store. I said, I want to talk to these young people. I'm a reporter. You know, I'm a gay man, a gay journalist for the Orgiana Curie. I want to talk to some of these kids about the limousine. I'll get out now. And that's when I took to really just telling these kids how I felt.
So when you're not pulling the car over, you're waiting until the limousine comes to a stop and the kids get out.
Either they get out or they stay inside, because some of them, I guess, are worried they don't know what I'm going to do. And I tell them, I'm not going to hurt you. All I want to tell you is this. You're all out here tonight in your limousine trying to pretend like you're movie stars, whatever you're doing. You know that there's a whole community of movie stars that are driving limousines. You know, they need these limousines. They need these limousines for protection. They need these limousines for transportation. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been a part of the Hollywood scene myself since I've been an entertainment writer. I said, why are you in a limousine? And they'll say, well, we rented it because we wanted to go on our prom. I said, that's fine, but this is not a car for you. I said, and I will tell them, you know, because I feel very strongly, Phil, and I don't want to hurt the kids, but I'll tell them. I said, I'm very personally disgusted seeing a bunch of kids, teenage kids, sitting in a limousine. So I went back to the desk, and you feel better about yourself. And Chick said to me, well, look, we've gotten complaints. I said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't give a damn. And he said, well, listen, write an article on it. I said, well, all right. And
well, you know, there's a couple of things here I could ask you about, Doug. Number one, your philosophy or your belief that limousines are for movie stars aside, when you approach a car, a limousine with young people in it, and you're giving them this lecture, some people may think that that is a little dangerous kind of accosting of kids.
What do you mean accosting?
Well, they don't know who you are. I mean,
yes, they do. I tell them I'm Doug Daniel with the Orange County Courier. I said I'm a gay man and a gay journalist trying to find out why you're in that limousine. And
well, do you tell them that you're writing an article?
Yeah. And they tell me, and I said, well, I want to tell you what I think, because I know movie stars and I know people that are TV stars, and you look ridiculous, and you should not be in this limousine, because the limousine is for those people.
Well, look, if they can rent whatever they want.
No, I know that. So don't tell me something I don't. I already know that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist trying to say that this is, of course you can rent anything you want, but you can also look stupid doing a lot of things you want. And so that's my point. And I have started writing a series of articles. I'm going to write one article. Chick has told me that there was a complaint about parents, and I said I'll write one article, and I think that probably will explain my position on this. So that's going to be coming out Sunday before the Golden Globes.
Wow, I got to tell you something. I mean, I was going to talk about the Golden Globes with you, but I really want to stay on this topic, if you don't mind.
On the
topic of the limousine?
Well, that's fine, but I mean, I've said all I'm going to say about it.
Okay, but I've got a couple of questions, if you wouldn't mind hanging on, Doug. We are going to talk about the Golden Globes, but Doug Danger is with us. And in advance of the Golden Globes, limousines that are rented by the movie stars, the TV stars, and so on and so forth, they're also rented by teenagers, as you know, for proms, for dates, and so forth. Doug Danger, who writes for the Orange County Courier, has taken to pulling over or otherwise talking to the people riding in limousines and asking them, what are you doing in there? You're not a movie star. You're just a kid. I'm disgusted by you. 877-876-PHIL is our number. I want to ask him some more questions about this. 877-876-7445's World Famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhendryshow.com with our streaming video. We are having a phone issue, folks. Right now, the phone system, or the software, I should say, the phone system may be working fine, but I cannot bring any phones up remote because the software is not working. We may have calls that can be answered perfectly well at our control room, but here on our in our studio, we can't, Doug. I apologize for that.
Believe me when I tell you, I was not expecting taking phone calls. You know, as I said to you, we're going to talk about the Golden Globe.
But more to the issue, if you don't mind, of this limousine.
Well, I mean, you can run your show any way you want. I think I've said all I wanted to say about the limousine situation. Simply this, I don't know what phone calls you think you're going to get on this. I'm saying, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been writing about entertainment for a long time. And I'm saying to you that when a movie stars and TV stars ride in limousines, going to the Golden Globes, going to the Oscars, going to whatever, the People's Choice Awards. And by the way, Rihanna, your reaction to the People's Choice, if I may just say this, Phil.
Go ahead.
Rihanna's reaction to the People's Choice Awards. The People's Choice Awards, Rihanna, these are your fans and other fans voting for you. They're not members of the Academy. You act like the low-class, poor, untrained, unschooled girl that you are. You act like the young lady that came from no manners and no style, no grace, no tuition or education in how to handle yourself in public. You act every bit the rube that you are, Rihanna. I just thought I'd let you know that.
Well said.
Phil, those are the People's Choice Awards.
No, I absolutely agree. I've seen actors who have had far more class and grace, and they say, but, you know, I'm very grateful for this, and I'm very excited. I saw when one of the awards was given one year where the entire cast got up on stage and really had a great time, celebrated it with the fans. The fans were enjoying being in proximity with their favorite stars, so, you know.
I think it's a great time. It's a great opportunity for the fans to interact with the stars and vice versa, and you're absolutely right. I've seen artists and actors who enjoy doing that. So Rihanna, when she said, no, I'm going to go across the street and watch the Clippers, which I guess she probably knows about as much about basketball as I do, but Chris Paul's with the Clippers, so I don't know if you know this or not, Phil, but the Clippers are now the team, you know.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm a Laker fan, always will be.
Well, me too. But I just thought you'd like to know that you're falling out of. Now, if you're not a Clipper fan, you're nowhere.
Oh well, that's just too bad, you know. Because one player, and even if they got Blake, I don't care who the Clippers have got. They suck as far as I'm concerned. I'm a Laker fan.
All right, so let me say this about the limousine thing. These kids that are in the limousines on a Saturday night or on a Friday night, they rent these limousines with their daddy's checkbook or their mama's credit card. They're riding around in a limousine with a driver that probably wishes he had, you know, adults in the back instead of a bunch of kids that are opening the sky, the thing, the sliding sky thing, and sticking their head up. And
you said you were familiar with limousines.
I am familiar with limousines.
When you say opening the sky thing,
the sky, nobody knows what it's, Phil. It's called,
it's the sunroof.
Well, what, do you own a limousine or something? I don't understand.
No, I don't own a limousine. I have a car with a sliding sunroof.
Oh, you have a car with a...
You know, Doug, what am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to apologize that I got a car with a sunroof?
No, don't apologize. That's fine. I mean, you're one of those people. I'm defending you. And
don't defend me. I'm not a movie star or a TV star. I'm just a working stiff, okay? And
yeah, sure, you're a working stiff with a Jaguar. Now,
hey, let me tell you something, man. I earned everything I got, so don't give me that stuff, all right?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist trying to lay it down, not for you. I'm laying it down for the people listening, that when your kid is out there renting a limousine or putting a credit card down on a town car, they think they're a movie star, and I'm telling you right now they're not. And
well, no kid, I don't think the parents think that they've got movie stars there. I don't think the kids think they're movie stars. You know, so what really is the problem here?
The problem is, Phil, when you give these kids the opportunity to ride around a limousine and with the tinted windows, and they sit back like maybe they're John Jovi or that rock singer. What's the guy?
John Bon Jovi?
Yeah, that. Well, I was trying to think of the guy that dumped Heather Locklear, but I didn't want to. I hope the guy's not listening because I don't want to set her off or anything.
It wasn't John Bon Jovi that, quote, dumped her. I think it was Richie Sambora, and I think she dumped him. But nonetheless.
All right, well, whatever it is, I'd like to tell these parents that what you're doing is you're setting these kids up for a fall, because I'm going to, if I see them, I will say something.
Well, some parents may think that that's a little scary, Doug.
I'm not trying to scare anybody.
But, I mean, if you're walking up to a limousine full of kids and you're saying, hey, you have no right to be in this limousine, that don't you think that that sounds, if you were a parent, if you had kids, don't you think that would be a little scary?
I don't think if the person identified themselves and it was a well-lit area and it was an individual who, I don't look like a bum, Phil. I don't look like a homeless guy. I don't look like a psycho. I look like a professional, and I carry my laptop, and I have I've got my briefcase, and a lot of times I'm in the, I wear a hat that is a normal hat. I wear I've got a pair of boots. They're UGG boots, and I wear it's one of those alpine hats that has a feather in it. So, in other words, I look like a reporter. And
you're wearing UGGs, and you have an L.
What are you laughing at?
I'm not, nothing. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. We'll see if the phones are working. I don't know. But we got Doug Danger with us as we talk about renting a limousine. You kids out there, you rent a limousine. You think you're a movie star? Well, Doug's going to set you straight. And you'll know him because he's wearing UGG boots and an alpine hat with a feather in it. He looks just like any other normal guy going into Starbucks at night. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Tomorrow night we will be local in the city of Los Angeles, but you can join us on Phil TV and HD if you'd like and watch the show that way. Our number here, 877-876-PHIL, and on the line with me is a longtime contributor to our program, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, and we've got a couple of people hanging on, Doug, that want to talk to you.
That was what I was going to say. I did not want to take phone calls on this issue because, I don't understand. Do you think there's something to debate here?
I suppose your method.
Hold on for a minute. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm a professional journalist, and I'm talking about something I know about. I know about Hollywood. I know about limousines. I know about how the movie stars and the TV stars travel, and I see these kids in the limos as they ride around, and they look like a bunch of little punk kids. I'm not saying the kids are bad, but they look like a bunch of punk kids when they're in a limousine, and I think it's insulting to our great film stars and our great TV stars.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I still want to get to some phone calls here.
Well, that's fine if you want to, but I don't know what there is to discuss.
All right, let's find out. 877-876-PHIL. Go to, we do have Steve hanging on the line here. Steve, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yes.
I've been listening on the way from home from work, and I'm an educated professional. And I was really trying to give this guy, reporter, a chance to make some sort of sense about what he was saying, and it really strikes me that he's trying to say that there's a sense of entitlement to movie stars to only be driving these limousines when children or teenagers should not be in them. And coming from a middle class family and having good values and being trained well to save money in the right way, it was a celebratory thing when we were in high school to get a limo for the prom. And we all pitched in, and it was a great thing. It was a sort of a rite of passage. And I don't understand why this journalist continues to... if I could finish, please.
I just didn't understand.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Why this journalist continues to browbeat these kids and tell them that they're not entitled to a limousine ride. He doesn't know what they're doing. He doesn't know what they have achieved in these moments. And frankly, him pulling over or trying to gain their attention and impose his ideals on children is quite bizarre. And the last point I'd like to make here is I don't understand why he's been on for, I don't know, approximately 20 minutes or so, and he's identified himself as a gay man and a gay journalist probably as many times as minutes he's been on the phone, and I don't see what that bearing has. Thank you very much for the call.
Homophobia is your main issue, then you could have said that at the beginning and saved us your whole soliloquy about this and that. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
That's great.
Okay.
Do I have to tell you my credentials every time?
No, you don't. I didn't ask you to, and you don't have to. That's what I do. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
You
can do whatever you want.
When
you say us, sir, I didn't know that you're speaking on behalf of some other people. Yeah, I'm here.
Listeners, I'm guessing it's more than just me.
Mr. Henry, you've got a guy here that speaks for all your listeners.
All right, Doug, I think the sarcasm, I understand what the gentleman's saying, and I think maybe the better thing to do would be to explain.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? I don't know what I got to explain. To the point of the kids in the limousines, I think it's even more clear that you've got these kids that are riding around, they think that they're whatever they think, you know, movie, you know, they think there's some kind of, movie star, Bob, you know, whatever the hell. I don't know who these kid movie stars, who they like, they're out there, they're riding around, and they think they're in the Hangover.
Okay.
What?
Well, what's the point, man? I mean, if they're out there, they're riding around.
Because they're not movie stars. They're not movie stars, and they think they are.
I don't understand how you correlate movie stars to what type of vehicle you're driving. I'm driving a BMW right now. It's pretty fancy, and it's all paid off myself because I went to college and I went to school. Am I not?
Okay, but I mean, a movie star is not going to drive a paid-off BMW. A movie star is going to lease probably a Rolls Royce. So that's the difference.
Well, come on, man. I mean, you know.
What, you know better?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was on a TV show with a guy whose name I will not mention, but he had a...
Go ahead, mention it.
No, I will not mention it. And he had a BMW SUV that he bought, and that's what he came to work in every day.
That's what he came to work in every day at the studio. I'm talking about going out in the world to an award show. And I'm just saying that the movie stars and the TV stars work very hard to have some punky little kid, excuse me for saying that, try to usurp that. And all I do, sir, and you were saying it's bizarre. I mean, all I do is I get out of my car, I'm on my way into Starbucks, wherever, and I ask them to just stay in the car, and I'll ask them, what are you in this limousine for? I'd appreciate it very much if you'd get out of it and start, you know, acting who you are instead of who you think you are.
Well, that's weird.
Imposing your ideals on teenage kids is odd, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find people that are listening right now that don't think that your behavior is bizarre.
All right, sir. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, sir, but I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm simply saying, you know, please stay where you are.
Then right there, please stay where you are. That's going to scare the average teenage kid who's just out to have a couple of laughs.
Out to have a couple of laughs while he humiliates some man driving home who's 50-something, who can't afford a limousine, whose life is a failure, who may be contemplating suicide, and he looks over and he sees some kid sticking his head out of the sky, out of that sunscreen or whatever the hell you called it, and now he said, now that really pushed him, and now he's decided he will go home and blow his brain out.
You shouldn't be a journalist. You should be writing scripts for movies.
Well, I don't know. I'll take that as the insult you intended, sir. I'm a gay man, and I know you don't like me saying it,
I'm glad that you're in a society that is beginning to accept sexualities that they didn't in the past.
I'm a gay man and a gay... But I say that because it makes me a better reporter being gay. Because I think I've got a sharper eye. And some guy who's 50,
okay,
seeing some kid sticking his head out of their...
Yeah, okay, we got that.
Being straight scared.
Huh?
I did
straight
I
scared
with an analogy quick enough, but you're saying that you being a gay man makes you a better reporter. Jeez, how would you like it if somebody said being a straight man makes me a better reporter than you?
Well, it's not true. That's how I'd know.
Wow.
It's not true. Because being a gay man and having dealt with all the discrimination means I can pick through the horse dung quicker than the average straight guy who gets snowed under every day by all this bull crap. And
well,
again,
I've been an investigator my entire adult life. I've been through the police academy. I've been college educated. I think I can smell a rat when I see him as well. And I'll tell you what, if I was still
maybe,
in my former profession in law enforcement and I got a call to a McDonald's that you had flagged somebody over, I'd be looking at you quite heavily to see what your motive is and what your mental state is.
Well, that's because you come from a very limited environment where you don't understand the larger issues that are at work. Some kid riding around in a limousine, a guy who's 50 is going to go home and blow his brains out.
Where do I come from?
Wow. I mean...
Well, I better not say.
What does that mean, you better not say?
But, Mr. Henry, I don't have to... What, is all of a sudden a police interrogation? Don't say what I said. I just, you know, consider the source.
Well, I don't, you know, Doug, these little veiled comments, I'm going to let you go, by the way, Steve. Very good call, and I appreciate you calling us this evening.
Okay, thank you.
877-876-PHIL. These are rather veiled insults, I think.
No, they are not veiled insults, and if the gentleman is hung up, I will tell you, he sounded like he might have been that South Boston shanty thing, shanty Irish.
South Boston shanty Irish meaning what?
What it means is exactly what I was saying. When that gentleman is driving home in that car, and he's 55 years old, and his life is a ruin, his life is a wreck, his business is going under, and everything he's tried to accomplish, he has failed at. Now he's driving home to the apartment that he had to move into because his wife kicked him out, and he looks to his left, and he sees what? He sees a bunch of punky little kids sticking their heads out of the sunroof of a limousine, going, ee-ee-ee. Okay? And the first thing he thinks is, yep, thank you very much. You'd almost expect him to roll the window down and say, thank you, you just made my mind up for me. Heads home, swallows the barrel of a gun. I don't find anything funny of that.
I think that what you just outlined there is the strangest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Hold the phone here, man. Because
no, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Just because some kids are in a limousine and some guy who's failed in his business life and he sees them and he goes home and he blows his brains out, you think that means what? Don't rent limousines to kids.
I think the time has come where we get serious and start growing up around here and we let people rent limousines who deserve them and keep these kids on a short leash until they're old enough to understand what the, you know, what the good life really is, as opposed to pretending like they're some kind of a big deal. I can't name... God, I can't get the words out that I want to say.
And what does that mean, you can't get the words out you want to say?
What is the name of some young actor that's got...
Jonah Hill, there.
Who?
Jonah Hill!
I don't know who he is.
You did Moneyball!
Oh, that sucked.
All right, Doug, hang on the line here. We got to take a break. 877, he wants the name of a young actor. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier on kids in limousines. The Golden Globes are up. Movie stars belong in limousines, not teenagers. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And it is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour will be coming up toward the end of the show, and you can dial us up at philhendryshow.com if you want to watch the Phil TV and HD video cast of our show. You can watch us performing this every night and join us over there with a backstage pass for all of our downloads as well. We have Doug Danger on the line. Talking about the Golden Globes that are coming up, we were discussing Ricky Gervais, who we're very happy to see back as the host.
I think it's important, too, because official Hollywood last year reacted, they blew it. They blew it big. They came out saying that Ricky Gervais was insulting and this and that, and he won't be back. And whoever the reporters are out there that reported that Ricky Gervais was bad last year, if I were you, I'd stay home. I wouldn't show my ugly mug anywhere around the Golden Globes because you blew it, and you blew it bad. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm telling you, I'm telling you straight. I was on the right side of this one. I knew Ricky Gervais hit the ball out of the park last year, and I told everybody as I was walking out of that place, Ricky Gervais smoked it right out of the ballpark, man. I mean, it was a screaming line, frozen rope shot out over center field, right into the Union 76 station if it was Dodger Stadium. And I'll tell you right now, he hit that ball so hard that it could have gone right through one of those gas pumps out there, and there could have been multiple deaths if it had been a home run. So that's how good he was. Now, as a gay man and a gay journalist, if I called that right, and I see some kid in a limousine running around town, driving the driver nuts, wanting to pull over to, you know, pee on a lamppost or something, or throw up, sticking his head out of the sunroof, and pretending like he's Marlon Brando, you know.
Well, Marlon Brando, I doubt, in his even in his most reckless youth, did anything like that.
In a limousine? Probably did. They all think they're, you know, they all think they're James Dean or something like that. So I pull the car over, and I will tell them, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. It's none of my business, but you can see I'm a reporter. And you kids have got no business acting like you're all this, because you ain't none of that. And all of these movie stars, these are the people that need these limos.
All right, Doug, 877-876-PHIL. Let's get to some phone calls here. And we're talking with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, about the limousine riding of teenagers opposed to movie stars, I guess. Here's Patrick on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hi. I have one, it's like main question. You continuously say you are a gay man and a gay reporter. That has nothing to do with anything. That's great. That's your lifestyle. That's whatever. And then you
go free speech? Isn't this free speech? It's free speech, right?
Free speech. I have.
Okay. Then in free speech, you get to say what you want to say.
Yes.
I'm not using a four-letter word. I'm not talking about sex. I'm not talking. I just said that's what I am. You need a new phone.
Doug, will you let me handle that, please? Go ahead, sir.
No, he needs a new phone. I think you lost him. At that cheap phone. Here's something you need, folks. When you call a talk show and you've got a lot to say, make sure you got a phone that you didn't buy off a kiosk someplace in the mall, or you didn't buy off some guy who just happened to have it in the trunk of his car, because you got a lot to say. You want a phone that's going to help you do that. And that guy...
All right, we got it, Doug. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Here is... John. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how's it going? I'm a gay man, not a gay journalist. And I really find the whole...
Why don't you say you're not a gay journalist? Why don't you say what you are? You're a gay man and a what? Retired? Gay man and retired?
No. Actually, I'm a retail manager. But
you're a gay man and a gay retail manager?
Sure. Well, but the gay has nothing
look
to
do with it. You say it's free speech,
manager.
So you say that, and this gentleman can say what he wants to say.
But you
go
know,
ahead,
the whole
sir.
Limo thing, you know, when I was in high school, my best friend and I took our money for the prom night, rented a limo, took our girls, had a wonderful time, and if somebody had, like, pulled us over and said, you have no right to be in a limo, I would have thought that person needed to be in a mental institution.
What are you doing in a limousine? I don't understand that. Those are cars that are meant for movie stars.
Why are they meant for movie stars? What are you talking about?
I don't understand what you mean.
They're not meant for movie stars. They're meant for everyone.
Huh?
They're meant to make a night special. And
but
if you had
originally
you had
they were for movie stars that were going to the Academy Awards.
If you had come up to us on prom night and gave us your little spiel about how you're a gay man and a gay journalist and we don't have any right to be in a limousine, I would have thought you needed to be in a mental institution. I would have felt sorry for you.
Well, I would have felt sorry for you, sir, because you would not be listening to the voice of reason. While you sit in that limousine.
Oh,
First of all, if you're a gay man, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I'm telling you.
Okay,
you say
Scott
you're gay,
and I. Scott and
you
I
say you're
worked.
Gay,
Scott and I worked. We saved money. We wanted to make our prom night special.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But what I'm saying is you can make the prom night special if you get your dad's car or your mom's car.
No, stop.
But you're going in a limo, which is intended for the Golden Award.
Hold on. Let the man talk.
Free speech, okay?
Yeah, but you don't like me saying I'm gay.
No, I'm gay. I don't care.
He didn't. Okay. He doesn't care.
Scott and I worked. We saved our money. We wanted
you to keep saying the name Scott,
special.
Which sounds phony, and it sounds like your call's phony when you keep saying
Scott and I. This is
who cares what his name is? Who cares what his name is?
Okay, we saved
Scott
our
and
money.
I. You got
we
a nice stereotypical gay name there, man.
The
Scott sounds good.
Hey, listen, I'm going to hang up on both of you guys. Shut up, Doug, and let this
shut
man
up,
finish.
Doug.
You told me to shut up.
We
you told me to shut up.
Yes, I told you to shut up.
We saved our money. We rented a limousine to make the
Who's
night
that?
Special.
You and who? Scott?
Me and Scott.
Okay,
yes.
Man.
So, why do you have such a problem?
I already told you. And why do you keep repeating this story that you already told? Which
well, why do you keep repeating you're a gay man and a gay journalist?
I thought you didn't have a problem with that.
I don't.
I thought you didn't have a problem with that. Well, then why do you ask me about it?
Well, because you keep repeating it. You ask me why I keep repeating things. Why do you keep repeating things?
Scott and I. Look at dude. Why don't you go back and practice
do
your
you problem? Do you have a problem with
and,
gay people?
What?
You have the problem with gay people. You're mocking them with the whole Scott and I thing.
No. No, this is...
Look, wait. We're way off base here, okay?
I question this guy's gay. I question the whole gay. Are you gay?
Yes, he's gay, and we're going to take him at his word just as we do you, Doug, and we're not going to insult people that way. And if you want to say you're a gay man and a gay journalist, you do that. This gentleman is saying what he did. I want you, gentlemen, I want you, Doug, to stick to the limousine story.
Yeah, we were.
I've said it a million different ways that a limousine is for movie stars and rich people, not for this guy and his beard to go out. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I just think you're ridiculous.
Sir, Mr. Henry, you find this funny, huh?
Yeah, you're funny.
Yeah, you're ridiculous.
You're funny.
I'm ridiculous. Why? Because I don't like. I know lots of movie stars.
You know,
I guess that makes me. You know what?
I don't know lots, but I've encountered a few in my days. Okay.
Okay, and they would be
okay.
Very
not
resentful
as,
of you hogging up the limos.
As, not as many as you, of course. Because I'm nowhere near as fabulous as you, of course.
There's something wrong with this guy. Fabulous. All that stuff.
Okay, Doug. You know, you're a real insult. Thank you very, very much, sir. I appreciate your call, John. 877-876-PHIL. We'll take a break. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, Doug Danger, limousines, Golden Globes, you name it, baby. We got it on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Scott and I. And then we, Scott and I.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we are with you on Phil TV and HD. If you go over to our website, please stop into our Phil Henry shop and pick up some of the Marvy merchandise that we've got. You know, it's Valentine's Day. That's in the offing. A Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie would be beautiful. A Phil Henry Show shot glass would be even better. Maybe even a nice coffee mug or some of our downloads. Doug Danger is on the line with us from the Orange County Courier. We've been talking about the Golden Globes and the uses of limousines among young people. And this is not a safety issue, Doug. This is just what you think is any. You think this is a decorum issue or?
That's exactly right, Phil. That's exactly what it is. It is a social decorum issue. It's an issue of respect. Have some respect. We've got young people, and by the way, Phil, I don't want to change subject on you here too quick, but I do want to comment on the Marines in Afghanistan. I know that we hadn't talked about that.
No, we had not.
Okay, well, we had not, but, you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I do want to report on that.
Have you been there?
Have I been there? What is that supposed to mean?
No, you said I want to report on that.
I do. I want to report on it. And one of the reasons why I do, Phil, to be honest with you, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I've been getting a lot of comments here this hour, or the last hour, about, I have to be honest with you, Phil, they're bordering on homophobic, like I'm some kind of a sissy that can't talk about Marines and snipers and, you know, putting one right through a guy's, the middle of some guy's head, because the way I'm feeling right now, I'd take a leak all over a Taliban or anybody else that got in my way. And I can tell you...
All right, look, Doug, if you want to be on the show, that's fine. We can talk about these things. That wasn't the plan. You're coming off really angry. And
of course I'm angry. I'm angry about a lot of things. I'm angry about how our country's represented. I'm angry about how these punk kids are driving around in limousines, and all I got are all these irresponsible parents saying, my kid gets to drive in a limousine on account of he ain't no better, or, you know, whatever they're trying to say, you know. Ed O'Neill on Modern Family ain't no better than my kid. How come he gets to that Sonia Virga? She's all the hot thing. And
okay, so in other words, a kid in a limousine disrespects movie stars and TV actors because they're the ones that get to ride in limousines because that's why they were originally constructed. I got it.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you said to the last caller. I'm just, you know, I'm not quoting you exactly, but that's what you said. 877-876-PHIL. And again, we are talking with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Let me go over to Patrick, your friend Patrick. Doug, I don't know what line he's on. Is this Patrick?
No, it's Steve.
All right, hold on, Steve. I apologize, man. I don't know where the hell Patrick... Oh, he's up here on line one. Patrick is back with us. He had a cell phone situation. And go ahead, Patrick.
This is the guy that needs a new phone.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't need a new phone.
All right, one, equality. Dude, you gotta learn what equality is. What is the definition of equality?
Well, I'm not in school here, man. I'm not taking your quiz. You got a point you want to make, go ahead and make it.
I'm just asking, you're so bright, and you're so smart.
Well, if you really don't know the definition, I'll be happy to give it to you, but something tells me that's a rhetorical question. So just get to your point.
All right.
I took the words right out of. He doesn't know what to say now. You know, then make your point, man. Make your point.
All right. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I've been ready. I was born ready, son.
You've been babbling this entire time. I've listened to you for the past hour.
Babbling.
You've just babbled and babbled and babbled.
No, I haven't. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And the fact that
I'm a straight man and a college student. I'm a
good
straight man and a college student. Well, see, good for you.
Now you sound retarded.
Okay, all right.
And you don't? All right.
I don't repeat it over and over again like there's a part of my brain missing. No.
To the point of the limousine. I have a younger sister. She's 16 years old. She's ridden in a limousine. And, you know, I don't see the point of there being anything wrong with kids being able to ride in a limousine. It's fine.
I just explained it.
Just like the man before me said that he had taken him and his, I guess, his date, Steve, on a date.
No, he said they took girls. They took girls on the date, even though he was gay. But you hyper-focused on the gay thing because you're worried about that.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
Well, you hyper-focused on the whole...
I have really good friends that are actually, they're homosexuals. And you know what?
Of course.
That's their lifestyle.
Of course.
And that's fine. But
it's not a lifestyle. It's an orientation. It's not a lifestyle. It's an orientation. It's not a lifestyle.
What?
You know, you got to get educated on that before you...
You know, Doug, would you please let the man...
The guy's not saying anything. You talk about babbling.
I'm not talking about homosexuality.
You're babbling about the whole thing, and you're not even talking about the... You say you think it's a lifestyle.
All right, so the guy...
The situation at hand, sir. The limousine.
What's in your hand?
Gay to... A military.
No, I didn't. You called up with a bad phone. Then the phone fell out. Mr. Henry put you back on.
No. I put him back on because the man's phone wasn't working. He got into a good cell. Okay? And, Doug, you're nitpicking all these words. You're not letting the guy finish what he's saying.
The guy's basically saying that kids ought to be able to ride in limousines. I told him, no, they don't get to, and he's still giving me an argument about it.
Well, how do you say they don't get to? Like I was saying,
because a punk kid... A punk kid in a limousine is an insult to a movie star.
Okay, Well, I'm going to say, if I were there, and if you were to have pulled me over when I had ridden the limousine, if you would have pulled me over, I'd have probably beat your ass. It's weird.
I doubt it. No, I'm serious. No, I doubt it.
Well,
I know you tried. No, I know you tried. I mean, I don't doubt that, but I doubt
man.
It. Yeah.
Look at what is this about, Doug? Do you understand that if I had a son or a daughter, you had a son or a daughter, and a stranger pulls them over and says, "Hey, kids, I want to talk to you," doesn't that bother you?
It would bother me, Phil, unless the guy identified himself as a reporter, and then I'd say, "Okay, it's fine."
Identified himself as a reporter, huh? And no, suppose he wasn't.
What are you trying to say now? I'm some kind of a perv. I'm gonna hijack a whole limousine with four kids.
There,
are you guys
he
nuts?
Didn't say that. He didn't say that.
I'm
he never said that you were a perv.
Kids, well, excuse me, but you guys are saying it's kind of bizarre, and I'm simply saying these kids need to learn that limousines are what they
are. For what?
What do you call it?
For what?
The Academy Awards.
Equality.
Academy Awards. No, I don't see anything that says it. Are they free? If they're free, it's for equality. If they're not, guess what? You got to pay. And they
you
ain't
pay
cheap.
For a car. You don't have to pay
$300 an hour for a car.
Well, I don't know what the cost of a limousine is. It is a luxurious ride, but it is not something that that says only rich people. Thank you very much, Patrick. Please appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. And let's go over to, is it Steve?
Yes, sir.
It is Steve. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey,
why don't you know these phone calls?
Because we had a phone system problem. Go ahead, Steve.
I got to tell you, well, first, I'm a first-time caller, semi-long-time listener, and the only reason why I'm calling in tonight...
Whatever.
Well, you know...
You know what, Doug?
This guy, Doug, is ridiculous, okay? Because, first of all, I'm a psychologist, okay? And I work with people like Doug, and the fact of the matter is that he's mentioned he has to let the world know that he's a gay male and a gay reporter. Nobody cares. But the fact of the matter is that he's announcing it over and over again for the world to know, and then talking about kids and saying how kids shouldn't ride in this. Who the hell cares? Nobody cares.
Well, you may not think anybody cares, Mr. Psychologist, who knows how everybody feels, even people he hasn't met yet, but how'd you like Phil?
The fact that he's focusing on kids, I got to tell you, is a little bit disturbing to me. And I'm going
If you're a psychologist, you know that being gay's got nothing to do with being a pederast, if you're a psychologist, which I doubt.
It at all. But usually people that talk about these things and try to deflect it, raises a red flag in the society. So I'm going to take the side of the private investigator on this.
Flag.
This
what do you mean a red flag in society?
Okay.
Listen, I don't have anything loose. I don't have anything. You know, I'm going to make a joke. There's nothing loose about me except my bowel movement, which, you know.
Okay, Doug. You know, you want to make a.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Doug.
This is Doug. And I'm saying to you...
Yeah, and I don't like your joke, Doug, about your bowel movements.
I'm trying to lighten the mood. This guy's coming in with all kinds of homophobia. And
this is not homophobia at all, sir. This is not homophobia at all. What this is about is someone who's talking about kids, teenagers specifically, and how they shouldn't be allowed to drive in limousines. When does limousine driving or riding become exclusive to movie stars and all these things? That stuff died out 50 years ago, maybe 50 years
Everybody knows, sir. Everybody knows that limousines are for either very wealthy people or movie stars. And lately what we're seeing in them are a lot of, okay, I better not say it, but...
What?
We've been seeing that for 25 or 30 years. Kids riding in limousines.
It needs to stop. It needs to stop because I'll tell you why. These kids start thinking of themselves, hey, let's go to Spago's
It's an ego trip. I agree with you. But at the same time, Doug keeps on harping and harping and saying, I'm a gay male. I'm a gay journalist. Who cares? But
I'm a gay man and a gay... You know that, right?
Well, who cares? I don't care.
Sir,
you do a good job.
I'm asking you if you know it.
How can he not know it? You've been saying it for an hour and a half.
I'm asking the gentleman, Phil, not you. You know I'm gay?
What? Do I know you're gay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you've mentioned it, but it doesn't... I don't care.
Okay, all right. So, as a gay... As a gay man and as a gay journalist, it helps me as a journalist, the gay part. Now,
okay.
If I am out there and I'm gay and I can cut through the horse dung faster than a straight journalist and I see a bunch of kids in a limousine and I realize what they are basically doing is, and it's a figure of speech that I'm going to make here, but they're figuratively pulling their pants down and sticking.
I agree with you.
Okay.
That's inappropriate.
They're behavior. Pulling their pants down and sticking their bare rear ends out the window at Judy Dench.
Okay.
You guys can laugh all you want, but I've worked with these people.
Oh, come on. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard, man.
What?
Yes. The kid in a limousine sticking his ass out at Judy Dench.
But the thing is, this guy, Doug, is making a big brouhaha over something that really has no business being, no one cares, really.
All right, well.
Are you saying nobody cares about me being gay, or nobody cares
no,
about
kids nobody cares
around
about
kids
riding around.
Out.
Nobody cares
well,
about kids in limousines. Maybe 25, 30 years ago. Maybe
it might have been
today,
weird, yeah.
Right, today
yeah.
is a different
Listen,
world. So, Doug,
thank
Doug,
you, sir.
Sorry, Doug,
no, I got a break, but I thank you very much, Steve, for your call. Our number 877-876-PHIL.
Thanks for cutting that guy off, because he's a...
Yeah, and you too. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Had that switch off. My apologies to our videocast viewers this evening. Had the switch off in the first few minutes of the break. But it's back. It's rock and roll. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry
Thanks,
Show.
Thanks, Johnny Bean. Johnny Bean, thank you.
Johnny Bean, thanks, man.
Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back. And on the line, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. And we have been talking here about the Golden Globes. Well, we were, and we've gotten into a discussion on the uses of limousines and whether or not young people who are on their out on a prom date or on any kind of a special date or just regular people that aren't movie stars, should they be able to ride in limousines?
You put it a little. No, it's not that simply put, Phil. I think I put it in a much more elegant way. Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I think that I have the words, and I think I have the ability to describe specifically, sociologically, what this is about. And what this is about is kids are now being raised to think there's something special. Well, and they are, but putting them in a limousine only invites people like me to want to smack them down. I don't say smack them down literally. I mean only invites me to figuratively, psychologically slap them down. So it really provokes me. And
well, I don't see that at all, okay?
Hold on, one more thing. I said that I wanted to talk about the Marines in Afghanistan and them urinating on that Taliban. And I don't know why we're still talking about this, but I'd like to get into that pretty fast.
Okay, Doug, I as well as I do how we do things. I direct the show, okay?
Yeah, you direct the show, and so far you've directed the show, and you've directed me right into it. I'm sorry, Phil, you've directed this right into a ditch here, because...
I'll decide that, whether we've been directed into a ditch. And talk about insulting, man. I'm running this show the way I'm going to run the show.
I know, but I do want to say things about... I'm not going to sit here... I told you there wasn't anything to talk about, and for an hour and a half, that all we've been talking about is something there's nothing to talk about. Now, I told you that we got to get on the Marines.
You didn't tell me that you wanted to talk about the Marines in Afghanistan before you came on the show.
No, I did not, but I have had a change in thinking.
You know what? I'll think about it. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let me go over here to Kobe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Kobe, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I think Doug is very silly and immature. These are kids having fun. It's not like they do it every day. It's a once-in-a-year thing. Most of them do it for the prom. Some people do it when they get married.
Right.
You know, it's nothing extreme.
But again, they are doing it once a year, but the Academy Awards are once a year.
And now I watch the Academy Awards, and I watch these red carpets at the Grammys. Some of them don't even know who limousines. They come in blacked-out SUVs.
That's a limo. That's a new limo. That's the new kind.
No, those are security type
it really
cars.
Don't mean nothing. No matter how rich or how low
look
you are.
At you.
On
security type
car.
What do you work
money,
for, Blackhawk?
If you have the money, you can do what you want.
Wow, wow.
What are you doing, Doug?
The guy's got an echo on the phone. Can you hear it? Hey.
Okay, he's got an echo on the phone.
So, it doesn't matter. I say, if you got it.
Kobe, yeah.
Hey, Kobe, I want to ask you a question.
Tell
there's a song out, there's a song out right now. You know the song that's out right now. Yeah, my Hollywood friends are very offended.
Tell them to
by
stop
all
making
these
movies with these teenagers in limousines. So where do you think they learned that from?
Well, you're not telling me, you're not going to seriously tell me that they're learning how to call a limousine company by watching a movie.
Well, we see
I'm
it
saying,
every time with, on these
you know
shows,
this,
these kids, they go to the prom, what they get? Limousine.
You know this song about, it's with Snoop Dogg, and it's about Wild and Free? And it, here it is. It's about a bunch of punk kids smoking dope and doing what they want to do.
Come on, man.
Is it? So well,
come on, man. Not all these kids there. Out here smoking dope and doing bad things.
See that, what I'm saying?
Turn that down, will you?
No. This is what's influencing the kids to go out and rent limousines, this dumbass doggy
you're
dog.
You're being very silly and you're being very...
No, I'm not.
Who the hell is doggy? You mean Snoop Dogg?
Yeah.
So, all right, thank you very much, sir, for your call,
right,
Kobe. Appreciate it. But we do have a bad echo on that phone. Let's move over to Tori on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Tori.
Yes, sir. I just had an issue with the fact that... Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Yeah, we're here. We're just that song is on.
Well, I think the song is relevant. It's about. It's called Young and Free, and it's about smoking weed and doing whatever you feel like doing.
Okay, fine. Go ahead, Tori.
I just have an issue with the fact that you think that it's people who should be respected, that, like, you said movie stars should be respected, like they should be held on some kind of pedestal. Movie stars
yes.
are
well,
better
not,
than
not just movie
else.
Stars, but also the movie, but also the TV movie of the week people too.
Right. So they should be respected more than, say, the families who are riding in funerals to their family members' grave sites. They ride it in limousines as well. So
yeah, and I know that, and I can appreciate that, Tori. That's a very good point, but it's acting a little silly. To be riding around in a limousine just because someone died.
Are you kidding me?
What?
Are you serious? Like,
are you trying?
People who are emotionally distraught don't deserve to be in a limousine because one of their family members died. Like, I wouldn't want to drive to my grandfather's
of
funeral.
Of course not.
If I'm emotionally
not,
distraught,
dear.
That's not only
yes.
a hazard to myself, but the other people on the road.
Well, and you're absolutely right, and that's why you should sit in the back seat. I don't understand what...
So,
sit in the back.
So it's okay if you're chauffeured as long as you're not in a limousine? Is that what you're trying to say? Because it's pretty much the same thing, isn't it?
No, it isn't. Limousines give off the impression that you're somebody special, you know?
Listen, Tori, hold on, because I want to continue like with your... Tori, hold on, I want to continue with your call, but we were taking a break. Hang on for us, though. 877-876. It's a very important phone call we want to keep taking.
Yeah, sure.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Jesus. So what, we got drunk. So what, we smoke weed. I mean, that is unbelievable.
Doggy Dog. Phil
Doggy Dog.
Hendry.
Is that his name?
I understand about the Marines. 877-876-PHIL. I'll give you an opportunity, Doug. You want to talk about the Marines. We are also talking about the limousine issue.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. But I think I said about, I made my point on the limousine, and I told you originally I did not want to take phone calls on it because there's no point. There's nothing more to say about it.
Well, you can tell that people are taking exception to what you're saying, whether you think they have the right to or not. Now,
Well, they can do. People have the right, Phil, to be stupid. But
just what do you want to say about Afghanistan?
Well, look, Phil, I'm not a little kid. Okay, go ahead, say what you want to say about Afghanistan, and then go and take a dump and go to bed. And
I'm not saying that, Doug, but we can't be the way to do a talk show.
You know what you're doing. You're going. You don't know which way you're going.
The way to do a talk show is to not do two topics. You do one topic.
The thing I wanted to say about the Marines in Afghanistan was the following thing. I think that with the way they behaved, is not disrespect. It's not going to be seen in the world as disrespecting corpses. That's not the damage that they have done. The damage the Marines have done, and I've been trying to talk to people about this, and I've been trying to write about it. And
were you in the military?
No, I was not. No, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And being gay and being a gay journalist and then being a gay man on top of that, which is really three distinct states, is like being in the military. I can tell you right now, growing up gay, you might as well have been in a concentration camp.
Wow. Gee.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, man. God.
And I'll tell you this. What those Marines did in Afghanistan did not so much cause the world to think that we were desiccating corpses. They've got the world thinking now that our military, and in point of fact, our people, are pigs who just pull it out and relieve ourselves wherever it's convenient. See, they're not going to see it as them desecrating corpses. They're going to see it as four Marines that, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. Well, here's as good a place as any. While a camera's rolling, it makes us look like we are exhibitionists. It makes us look like we get our jollies going to the bathroom in front of people. It makes us look weird.
Well, you can call it anything you want, weird, whatever. There is an argument to be made that it does not reflect well on our fighting men, our Marines, and then on our society. I don't know if that's got to do with the fact that we don't have good toilet habits. There were three dead bodies there, and some people. I don't have a problem with it. The problem that I got is that they videotaped it, and the thing got out there. And I talked to a Marine last night on the show.
Yeah, that's fine, Phil. Can we move on?
And I'm going to finish what I'm going to say. A Marine called the show last night and said, "You better believe they wanted the world to see it. You better believe they wanted that videotape released. You better believe they don't care what happens. They want the message out there to their enemy, whoever that guy is, lurking out there in the rocks and the weeds the same way they are, that this is what they're going to do, this is how they feel about them, and they're not going to stop until..." I can respect that, but, you know, it goes public, and everybody's talking about it. All right, let me go back now. This young lady was hanging on the line here. Tori, go ahead, Tori. You're on with Doug Danger.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to reiterate... I just feel like it's ridiculous to feel that any kind of movie stars or TV stars or made for TV.
Can I interrupt you, Tori? I remember what you were saying now. You were talking about your...
Why would I let you interrupt me when you've been interrupting everyone else all night?
Well, this is Phil. This is Phil, Tori. It's not Doug. I'm just saying you were talking about the limousines to the funeral.
Yeah, look at her. She's yelling at you, Phil.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's just like they are no better than anyone else. They are no better than the families riding to their families' funerals. That not only should those people be respected because they lost a loved one, but they were also respected to their loved ones that they lost. Just because they aren't respected in the public eye doesn't mean they weren't respected by somebody. So who are you to say that they're not good enough to ride in limousines?
I didn't mean to say that. Tori, what I wanted to say was this. They are respected by you. They are respected by the family. But the respect that you have for them and the love you have for them needs to be within the bounds of who, you know, what you are. And you can love your grandparents and still take them to a funeral in a, you know, in a station wagon. I don't...
Are you telling me you're going to take the...
It's a public observance, though. It's all about
right.
A public observance.
Right, exactly. So, but you were saying that you'd be emotionally distraught, and I'm saying, well, you can sit in the back seat while somebody else drives.
Absolutely. I would absolutely be emotionally distraught. So there's many reasons.
Then why can't you just sit shotgun?
Sit shotgun to who? Who else is going to drive you when everyone else in your family
is there? Someone that's someone that's not as emotionally distraught as you. There's got to be one family member that is okay with it. Or
well, what do you mean okay with it?
Is okay with their family member passing away?
No, ma'am. But they're not so broken up about it that they can't stop at a red light and, you know, obey the traffic.
Right, look, no. Doug, you're really dancing this.
I know what she's saying. I'm simply saying there's no need to take a limousine to a funeral when you got a perfectly good car.
Yes, there is. It's a public observance of respect to the dead, your dead family member, and also from the public. Because, see, I'm from the South, and in the South, we pull over for funeral processions to show our respect.
I'm from the South, too, ma'am. I'm from North Carolina.
Whether we know them or not, we pull over to show our respect for not only for the person who's died, but also for their family members, to show our respect.
Well, now, let's not lie. I'm from North Carolina. You know that's a little bit of a fib. You know that we don't always do that.
Well, what do you mean?
Absolutely. Yes, we do. Where I'm from, we do. Every single funeral that I've ever passed.
Where are you from?
I'm from Alabama. And we do it for every single funeral
I'm
that
from North Carolina. And I used to get so upset with these funeral processions, I would honk my horn.
Boy, you are really a sweetheart of a guy, man.
You're a disrespectful prick is what that makes you.
All I'm asking is that they go ahead and bury the guy. I don't understand what this is all about. We're talking about limousines. Go to the thing in the limousine, that's fine. But, I mean,
You're talking about people that should be respected.
Have you ever pulled over a limousine?
I drove up to one once, and I said, what are you doing? And they said, they looked at me, and I said, they said, we're going to a funeral. I said, well, what are you doing in a limousine? And a few of these guys made a move like they were going to assault me, so I drove off.
Oh, come on, man. You can't be serious that you asked somebody in a limousine, what are you doing?
Bill, all I'm saying is movie star. Keep those words in mind.
You are no better than anyone else. There are plenty of people out there who do more charitable actions for others, who give more to charity, who are much better people than movie stars.
Name one.
They are no better.
Name one.
What do you mean,
Bill Gates, man? Bill Gates. Bill Gates, he's
well,
a movie
that's the
star.
Same thing. Bill Gates, Bill Gates is the same thing. He's rich.
He gives half of his earnings to charity. If anybody deserves to be in a limousine, he does. Not some.
Yes, he's rich. He's rich.
Good for him. So what?
So he gets to be.
All right, I think we've beaten this one to death. Listen, Tori, I agree with you, and I appreciate very much your call, and I think that you're showing a lot of patience. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. My God, Doug. You know.
Oh, it's not my God, Doug. I know what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say is if you start a kid on a bad habit, the kid is going to be on that bad habit for the rest of his life. Bill Gates, I got no problem with Bill Gates. He's a wealthy man. I got no problem with movie stars. But if you put
a family that has lost a family member, they deserve to go to a funeral in a limousine. Case closed.
Wow. Boy, you really turned into a...
Case closed, man. Case closed. There's no argument. There's no discussion. Doug Danger, you pull up to a limousine with a family in it, and you say, what are you doing in it? It's a funeral. Well, don't you think you ought to, you know, you deserve to get your ass beat.
All right, right there is a threat that you have verbalized against me.
No, I haven't. I said you deserve.
No, you have threatened me. Thank you.
All right. I guess they're not going to be any Taliban talk tonight. I threatened him. I said if he walks up to a limousine that is on its way to a funeral and he says to the people inside, what are you doing inside? Don't you know those limousines are for movie stars? And I would say he deserves to get his ass beat. I stand by that. I'm not threatening him. But I'll tell you this much. If he does that, if he keeps doing it, he will get his ass beat. There's no question about it. 877-876-PHIL. What?
Get him back on line 4.
That's the other guy. He's a real dick.
Hey! Doug.
Well, I told a guy the other day, he's a good guy.
Doug, it's Phil.
Yeah, they're down south. I come from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm a gay man.
Hey, Doug, it's Phil.
All those stuff over there, take it outside. Right. I don't want to see it. I don't want to look at it. And I damn sure don't want to smell it.
Doug, it's Phil. Doug. Doug Danger, it's Phil.
Yeah. I had the guy on the phone. He's talking about that. Well, the four Marines, they took a leak on a telephone.
Doug, it's Phil. Is he on the air?
Yeah, no, I told him that you were going to him.
Get him on, will you? Doug!
Yeah, four Marines. Pulled it out and went ahead and let it go. Waterworks. Yeah. I'm going to be on the radio for the next 20 minutes.
Doug! Doug!
I'm only kidding, Phil. I can hear you. Well, that was good.
Yeah, you enjoy this, man? You're acting like a child.
No, I'm not acting like a child. I can hear you the whole time.
Then what in the hell are we doing here, man? If I had to hang up on you, you know that?
No, don't you dare hang up on me. Listen, I'm protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act. I don't have a disability, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and it's the closest thing federally that protects me to being treated like a normal human being on a talk show. And
the Americans with Disabilities Act, huh? So I can't hang up on you because you're gay, because you're protected under the American...
Under the Americans with Disabilities Act. You can't hang up on me because I'm not... Being gay is as close as it gets to having a disability when it comes to that act. So
I'll hang up on you right now. Goodbye.
Don't you dare...
All right, we'll take a break. We'll call him back. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger with us. Our news and information hour coming up next. Talking with Doug here about the Marines in Afghanistan, as well as the limousines, as well as the Golden Globes here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, as we're discussing here, and will be for just a few more minutes, the idea of kids in limousines. We're going to be talking about the Golden Globes. Doug, I know you wanted to talk about the Marines in Afghanistan and the bathroom habits of our fighting men.
It's not so much the bathroom habits of the fighting men, it's that it reflects badly on Americans, and it makes us look like we are pigs. That literally, you understand, the rest of the world thinks of us as hillbillies that go out to an outhouse every morning, and, you know, and so...
The rest of the world sees us as a first world nation. What do you mean, hillbillies?
No, in terms of our personal hygiene and habits, is all I'm saying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to James. James, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. I'm a first-time listener. I mean, you've got a great show here, Phil, and I appreciate you exposing us to things like this and people like this. But
you guys never listened to your show before.
Doug, would you be quiet and let the man talk?
The thing that really gets me is Doug is so outwardly saying, hey, I'm gay and I'm a gay reporter and respect me. And don't segregate me because I'm a gay reporter and I should be accepted. But then he wants to turn around and he wants to segregate us because of our financial status. And because I don't make as much as a movie star, or I haven't done the things that a movie star does, I'm not allowed to ride in a limo. Sir, you're no
better than the
Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan trying to segregate the blacks from the white buses or the white anything.
No. Not at all. Because any color person could ride in a limousine. It's just if you're low rent. See, that's not color.
Well, what do you call it then?
Color, financial status, race, religion, whatever you want to say.
Any race can ride in a limousine. I'm not segregating people by race.
Segregate other people.
I'm not segregating people by race.
No, sir, you're not. You're segregating people by financial status, which under Equal Opportunity
Act, that's what the bank does. That's what the bank does. The bank does that. What are you talking about?
Okay. Yeah, the bank may do that. But the thing is,
yes, sir,
that you're sitting here talking as a gay man wanting to be accepted into society, and, hey,
well, I am accepted into society.
That's fine. That's great. I have many gay
friends. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Okay, that's great, sir. That is exactly my point. Why?
Thank you.
That is somebody that is wanting to be accepted and shown respect for your career, why are you again then turning around and trying to segregate everybody because of their financial status? That's not right.
Well, I'm segregating by their class. See, and I don't mean class by money. I mean class. Let me put it this way. It's like class. Do you use toilet paper or not?
That kind of class.
Well, okay. So how does that come down to teenagers don't get to ride in limousines?
Because that's slob. That is what I call slob.
What's the word slob?
No, S-L-O-B, slob.
That's slob.
Yes, sir. So in other words, I'm not segregating by race, by class, nothing. But I would do what this gentleman would do in his own home. Are you going to let somebody come into your house who picks their nose and wipes it on the wall? No. Otherwise, I could say you're segregating.
Are you trying to tell me that somebody that is not a movie star renting a limousine is like picking your nose?
In a way, yes. It's like walking around with your fly open. If you are riding in a limousine and you are just some high school student or some guy that put together his last dollar to rent a limousine to impress some girl who will never, ever sleep with him in a million years, that's like walking around with your fly hanging open.
I've got a special name.
Wow.
For you, Doug. I've got a special
wow.
name for you, and I think the rest of the listeners have a special
name.
You're
going to call me a name?
Ignorant. You are ignorant.
You're calling me a name.
And all these people that are listening to you need to give you the respect that you deserve and write to whatever paper or journalism or magazine that you write for, and you need to be boycotted. Because you are.
I'm going to give the name of the paper.
Ignorant. Do not give the name of my paper, Phil. Well, I'm asking you, Mr. Henry, not to give the name of my paper. You don't need to give any more fuel to a bigot like this.
This man's not a bigot.
You don't think he's got homophobia
on
the mind?
I wouldn't call him a bigot. And it's not my place.
What's wrong with me?
It's my place to judge you and let you know that you are ignorant, sir. You have no right to segregate anybody by anything, let alone try to tell me whether or not I can ride in a limousine because of my class.
No, you can't ride in a limousine because you riding in a limousine would look like basically you're using the toilet and not wiping.
What are you talking about, man? How is anybody going to see this gentleman?
Why am I ignorant? You can call me ignorant, but you have to tell me.
I can justify your ignorance. You're sitting here.
You know what?
I'll
put it in terms you can understand, sir, all right?
You're sitting here telling me that a teenager has no right to ride in a limousine? Why?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying a teenager riding in a limousine, it might as well be a Marine peeing on a Taliban.
Huh?
Okay.
Well, you know, if you guys don't get it, it's a very high level of thinking. And
a teenager riding in a limousine
might as well have pulled it out and peed all over some guy with a rag on his head.
Oh, God.
And there you go again laughing. Boy, you really think this stuff's... You know, you guys, one of these days you're going to wake up and smell whatever's cooking. May not be coffee. Maybe something else. Maybe it's a turd in a bag. You guys got to know the difference between the smell of coffee and the smell of a turd in a bag.
Well, guess what I'm smelling?
Oh, let me guess. Turd in a bag?
There you go, baby. You got it. You got it. Thanks very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Here is, I believe this is this Jessica? Is this you? It is not Jessica. Is this Jessica? Is this you?
This is me.
Go ahead, Jessica. I had the wrong line.
You.
You're on the air.
Thank you, Phil. I'm a first-time listener.
Yes.
And I just like to politely address a few things that I've heard, mainly spoken on behalf of Doug. What was that?
Is this going to take long? I'm Doug Danger. I was asking if it's going to take long.
You know what, Doug? I'll take my time in saying what I need to say, and when the host of the show cuts me off, then I'll gladly hang up the phone.
Okay.
What I've gotten out of the last 30 minutes of the show is that whether it's Afghanistan or it's about whatever happens in a limousine, whether it's about taking a limousine to a family funeral, if it's urinating on the dead in Afghanistan, whatever it may be. It's a personal choice. And there's simplistic thinking here. And I think that what I've heard come out of your mouth, Doug, and I don't want to offend you, but you've gone back on your word so many times.
Phil Hendry.